Hey, what's happening? What's going on in Sharkland? This is Eric from the Shark School with another episode of Let's Talk Shark. Today, I'd like to tackle an issue that I found in a magazine that talked about sharks. What else, of course, right? Well, talk is not likely the real word here. It's more sensationalized and misinformed. Once more, the issue of human blood as an attraction for sharks came up. Bottom line is, human blood does not attract sharks. So why should it? Humans were not part of the evolution of sharks. So no shark species ever developed a kind of preference from humans as a potential prey or got sensitive to human body fluids. And this sensitivity, what would actually be needed so that the shark would be attracted to our blood? Well, one could argue that the composition of human blood shows similarities to that of marine mammals like seals, otters, dolphins and such, representing prey for some sharks. But even then, it would still not be a common attractant. And maybe, beside the white shark, only maybe large bull sharks or tiger sharks, none of the others would be interested in. Anyway, no incident could ever be traced back to a person's blood as the initial trigger. So I'm sure that some folks insist that sharks showed up because they were slightly bleeding or had their menstrual cycles, but this is not because of the fluids that cause an attractant, but likely the irregular sound patterns due to nervousness, stress, cramps, fear, or even panic. And this because the person believed that blood is an attractant. So you see what I'm going with this? Because of this wrongful assumption, we get really stressed out. So even that the blood does not work that way, the potential attractant that we are scared could. So it's not the nose that brings the shark in, but the ears. We talked about the ears and their sensitivity in the past, so just let me summarize it quickly. They can hear frequencies from about 20 to 30 hertz to over 1500 hertz. And I'm mostly attracted to non-rhythmical frequencies between 400 and 600 hertz, the sound patterns of struggling or dying fish, or prey in general. Although the conclusive research is still pending, because we actually started to work on it two seasons ago, it seems right now that the person who is stressed, injured, or panicked creates comparable non-rhythmical sounds. But even if that sounds are logic, it's still not that easy for a shark, or should I say, may not be that easy to detect these patterns. Trembling motions causes little disturbances in the water, and the sounds are also very low in volume. That means should the person not be in very calm waters and rather close to a shark, chances are that the shark won't pick it up. Even less so should there be fish close by that dart around. So, you see where I'm going with all this. Human blood does not have direct effect on sharks, but at the most, an indirect one through sounds. But as I just pointed out, even that is not very likely should there be waves, because they make noise themselves as well. But you know what really intrigues me here? How did people come up with blood and attract in the first place? Well, I'm not really sure if my source is truly reliable, but it makes much sense to me. Okay, so just, you know, give me a few minutes. I try to explain it, then you can be your own judge. Supposedly, it began with the sailors in the 1700s. These sailors were often not the easiest people to go along with, because some of them, they did not really sign up on these ships, but more often they just got picked up when they were laying drunk in the gutter, brought on ships, which they then could not escape from because they either sailed already until they got sober or they just could not swim. So this was basically a forced labor force, which of course they did not really agree with the authorities and they always got into trouble. So again, they were basically forced to work on the boats. So as an early punishment for disobedience, they had been dragged under the boat and attached to a rope. And it was always the keel that caused them the most trouble and injury. Back when, these boats were made of wood, so barnacles and other hard-shelled animals were stuck to it. So when these sailors got pulled over the keel and the sides, they cut themselves. And since the early days, footrests were thrown overboard. Sharks were also a common sight, and chances were that sharks were also around while they were punished. So the sailors' bleeding seemed to have attracted more of the sharks. By the way, it is this area where the term requiem shark was created also. A requiem is a religious event for the repose of the soul of the dead. So since sailors died on these ships, it was assumed the sharks came in because of the dead bodies. But in reality, they just followed the boats because of food thrown overboard. So, some of these wrongful ideas about sharks started early on. Others are figments of the scientists of the 60s and 70s. Unfortunately, none of them felt the need to hang out with sharks in order to verify their assumptions. So more and more wrongful ideas found their ways into people's heads. And the rest is history, as to say, right? So I did not plan to do a history lesson here, but I hope you can see now how some of these erroneous assumptions likely started, which we have to destroy one assumption at a time. But you know what? It would have been an easy thing, even for these early scientists, to verify their assumptions. Of course, early attempts were made, but the methods were just not yet solid enough. Blood was once tested, but there were too many flaws in the experiment. And, I mean, we can go over this experiment in one of the next episodes if you really like. So if you do, it's just send me a note on Let's Talk Shark that you would like to hear about that. So anyway, their experiments, they just did not hold water. The same goes for urine experiments, or even human sweat. Neither of it has an effect on sharks. And it would be really surprising if it had, right? Just look at the composition of urine or sweat. Neither of the two has anything that seawater does not have. Human urine primarily consists of electrolytes, like nitrogen, chloride, potassium, and others, and metabolites, like minerals. None of it is particularly attracting to sharks, since other animals release them as well, and most components are, as I just mentioned, also part of the water's composition. So where would the attraction be? A higher concentration of something that is already found in seawater? Can't be, and the diluting would happen very quickly one way or the other. If you check with the Global Shark Attack file, there's not one case in which victims mentioned that they urinated right before an incident occurred. So in summary, human blood, urine, and sweat are not an attractant for a shark. Okay? That's it for today. Tune in again for another show of Let's Talk Shark. Have a great day, and if you meet a shark out there, have fun, enjoy the moment, and remember, it is a privilege.